If in past lives you have not yet attained enlightenment, you must attain it now. Save this body, which is the fruit of many lives. How many countless times you have been given life. But if you have not attained enlightenment, if you have not seen into who you truly are, you still have problems. You're carrying heavy burdens. You've got baggage. The first time I attended Sesshin and chanted this chant that we do before the Taisho, we didn't have the written text to look at. As I chanted, I came to this line about the urgency of attaining enlightenment now, and I thought that we must be chanting something about farmers, because this was the sound of the characters. When you know nothing, you are knowing nothing. When you come to understand just a little, you feel that you are just starting to understand a little bit. You can trust that. Zen practice was, for me as it is for you, one step by one step. I was just wondering if any of you were thinking that this part of the chant is about a farmer. Lifetimes past, yesterday, today, breath by breath, all are lifetimes past. You must ask yourself and answer honestly, have you solved your problems? Have you laid down your burdens? Perhaps some one of you might say that you have no burdens. If you feel that way, I think that maybe you're just too lazy to be aware of your circumstances. It is necessary for once to feel the weight of your baggage. Heavy, heavy. You must sweat and stagger under the weight. You want to try to lay it down, to get out from under it, but you're unable to do so. You have to experience this painful weight. If you're wandering shiftlessly, lazily, you will not be able to pour the sweat into your practice. There are people still in that circumstance. Burdens are heavy and painful. You must directly experience suffering firsthand so that it's not just somebody else's problem. Only then will you begin to know the burning need for liberation from suffering. How can I lay down this load of misery, of longing? How can I get out from under this? Shoulder the heavy bags and you cease to be happy-go-lucky. Someone who's been coming to Sesshin for a long time brought a new person to Sesshin this time. I don't think that she came of her own will. She certainly did not jump into Sesshin with any enthusiasm. I tried to be very light, not strict on her, but even so, she came on the second day and said that she wanted to go home. One way of working with her would be to spend a lot of time comforting and encouraging. But I have to think about a whole zendo full of practitioners. Sesshin is not a time to force and push and pat someone who's at a sort of, we can call it, kindergarten level. But if a person's karmic connection with Dharma is ripe, and you don't know if it is or not, they may well go directly from a kindergarten level of practice to a university level, so to speak, in one swoop. This does happen. No one is tied down. No being is bound. Each and every one, each and every being, you are a person of deep dignity, precious. You must ask yourself, who is this person of deep dignity? Most treasure self, just yourself. Hearing this, you may wonder. You may find it hard to believe. You may look at how lazy you are, or how unconcentrated you are, how weak-minded, how easily distracted. You may feel yourself to be worthless or not capable of practicing and attaining the way. You may have all sorts of objections, all sorts of complaints. So how could it be that this kind of person is the most precious in all the world? How can it be? Aren't you alone, independent, the only one in the world? Don't you and your dignity fill the universe? Who else is there? I could try to explain it to you so that you would have some sort of intellectual understanding of it. The little finger asks, how can I, small and weak and incapable of doing any real work, be the most precious one? You are just exactly life, functioning at its greatest, its liveliest, just as you are, the little finger. You are nothing but great life. There is nothing outside this little finger. No thing in the universe is insignificant. Everything is pure dignity. There are not some things which are chosen over others. True life is not a series of separate independent things and events haphazardly thrown together. There is nothing to be cut off. There is nothing which could be cut out. Everything is totally one, interdependently alive. You could say, well, just take this, just this one breath. I don't need this one breath. That is impossible. This one breath is just one breath. But this one breath is the crystallization of all being. The most precious being is this one breath. This breath includes all eternity. All is one, one is all. You can come to some mental comprehension of it. Look at the vast volumes of works written to describe Buddha Dharma. But no matter how thoroughly you study, you must know that that study will only take you so far. It is limited. The question is, you must be very honest, have you attained enlightenment? Have you solved the problem? Have you laid down your burdens? Have you seen into the seed of suffering? If you don't cleanly and clearly take care of that baggage, that problem, this suffering, the suffering will continue. This lifetime will be heavy. A lifetime of carrying baggage, a lifetime of no baggage. Make even the slightest distinction, and heaven and earth are set infinitely apart. Just this one doing. A lifetime, just this one doing. Make even the slightest distinction, and heaven and earth are set infinitely apart. What a shame to leave yourself holding the bags. What a pity. Because baggage creates ever more baggage. Burdens grow into ever more burdens. Birth, old age, sickness, death, suffering upon suffering. The daily round of trials and tribulations wear various faces. You could call it an irritating, slightly irritating, constant pain that you can't quite seem to heal completely. Even when you try to fool yourself and cover them up, they continue to fester and irritate beneath the surface. It's the pain of birth and aging. You are sure to experience illness, disease of body and mind. When you've once become very ill, you may at last feel grateful for the everyday stuff. When there was no sickness, you might then appreciate the treasure of health. You will experience the suffering of birth, aging, and illness, because that is not somebody else's problem, and everyone is subjected to it. You will try to escape from it in various ways. The head will dream up escape routes, but there is no escape. You must work out the problem at the roots. So-called worldly ways of escape will fail because they stab at the problem at the branches and the leaves. Sure, there are ways to enjoy yourself, to temporarily forget the problem, but that's not solving the problem ultimately. And in the end, there is the pain of separation, the pain at separation. The more ardently a person has worked, often the more poignantly he will experience the loss. Everything is lost. There's the pain of wanting things you cannot have, or wanting things to be different from the way they are. There's the pain of having to part from those you love, the pain of having to be with those you can't stand. Among you, there are champions of liking and disliking. Please be aware of it. You feel that you just can't help but like certain people and intensely dislike others around you. So doing, you are creating heavy negative karma. Humans so often kick the one to whom they most owe gratitude. The great way is not difficult for those who do not pick and choose. Then there's the sort of stingy beggar's mentality. while hiding what you have, holding your hand out for more. Insincerity, manipulative grasping. Changing your story to fit the situation. Manipulation, pretentiousness. True life's functioning is not something that you can manipulate to get your own way. It's only because you have a false notion of a small, cut-off, separate, enduring self as your base that it seems that the world is here for your use. Truth is one. Truth is being, pure, unmixed. Somehow, if you will only drop your pretensions, drop your insincerity. If you would only drop your perspective of duality, of two minds, and come alive to truth, the truth of our inherent oneness. If even one of you comes alive, you can brighten and warm the world just as the sun shines in the sky. Up to now, often without even knowing it, you have often hurt others, created worries for others. What a pitiful way to spend a lifetime. Your very expression is now saying, I am important. I've got this. I'm smart. I, mine, it's so mean and stingy. And such a field for dissatisfaction and frustration. I want more. I want it to be different. It's a minefield, your anger and irritation. A minefield for producing negative karma through hurting others. Well, I got carried away describing what it's like to be carrying baggage. I guess you know what it's like. Those in past lives who were not enlightened must now be enlightened. Now. Pay attention to now. Save this body, which is the fruit of many lives. If you go on under your burdens, you will be dissatisfied, whiny, and carping. And you won't be understanding. You won't be seeing. And that means lifetime after lifetime of ingratitude, failure to appreciate. So, will you go on like this? Please straighten and steel your resolve to awaken to your true body, your true mind. The true body, the true mind, this is your basis, your starting point. Inherent Buddha nature. All beings are Buddha. All. Intertwined, interconnected with all things, I am. Interdependent, connected. One with all beings. I am Buddha life. Buddha, disentangled, liberated, free. Freedom, carrying nothing. No one to carry, nothing to be carried. Seeking, it's all you. Yours, right from the beginning. Truth is limitless, unfathomable, fathomable, universal and complete, perfect. nothing in excess, nothing lacking. When small, it becomes infinitesimally minute. When large, it transcends all dimension, space. Buddha life, absolute, all-pervading, original Buddha nature. Not separate, just here now. A separate being who can grasp and be grasped, that is an illusion. The illusion or the delusion of a self. It's not correct seeing, not correct, incorrect view. You operate from a sense of I, me, mine. There is no I, no me, no mine. It's delusion, miscalculation, a phantom. Here on earth, humans are the most deluded, the most self-cherishing. How much killing and torturing is going on every day? You are responsible. You cannot lay it off on somebody else. Above and below the heavens, I am the Honored One. It said that Shakyamuni faced the four directions and pronounced those words at birth. He was not talking about himself, a separate individual. He was pointing out your reality. Above and below the heavens, I alone am the Honored One. You are precious, important, most precious. Vow to release your hold on self-clinging. Self and other are not two. Life is continuity, perpetual connection, continuity. It's constant mutual interaction between Buddha and sentient beings. So your time will come. Your deep connection with Buddha Dharma will not fail to ripen karmically. You will be blessed with an opportunity that will trigger your awakening to your own Buddha nature. We've talked about reverence and worship. Please be without pride and disrespect. Continue to be noble in your unselfish efforts. Your one whole giving, doing is unselfish. Be worshipful. Let all self-clinging drop in worship. Chitante, this single one doing. It's the dedication, the offering of body and mind to truth. Chitante, muji, shikantaza, following the breath. Only. There is nowhere for an I, me to adhere. There is no I, me who is following this breath. It's easiest to make the mistake of thinking, this is me, my body, I am here. You want to believe it. You want to grasp it. I have this habit of this and that. But is there really such a beast? You must investigate it through your practice. Suppose the sun suddenly decided to stop shining upon this little dumpling earth. What would happen to us? There is not so much as a fraction of an instant in which a me exists separate and independent, apart from all the cosmos. determined to bravely let go of that notion of a separate me. It's letting go of body and mind. Let go of body and mind, throw them into the house of Buddha. That's your true house, your true life, your home. All will be taken care of by Buddha. Throw yourself into the house of Buddha, and there is nothing else. Come to be able to say for yourself, yes, that's right. But you don't stop there to sit back and feel good. The devil will creep up with a grin on his face to fool you. Give it your all, then give it some more. I told somebody that I would make him a monk if he'll just keep his back straight and not slump in his practice. And I think he must have believed me, because he's keeping his back straight and his practice up. But now I see that he's nodding off asleep on the cushion, head bobbing. I am watching you. Even if you cannot earnestly at once practice just exactly as you've been told, you must make the firm resolution to do it. The resolution is crucial, it's urgent, and it's ongoing. Stick with this practice. Stick with this. Your mother and father will be very happy for you. If you want to make your parents content, peaceful, if you want to stop worrying them, this practice that you do now is the answer. Everyone is a baby, a Buddha baby. And you're all making your Buddha mother and father cry. You can do better than that. All you have to do is your practice. This one doing. Together with all beings, we attain Buddhahood.